What's this? What's this? It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time. What's this? What's this? It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just me and my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
And that was the theme music before the theme music. Run the theme music!
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you!
What's this? What's this?
Well, just me, my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people. Let's do the interactive bit. How are you? Good. That was the interactive bit. Hope you enjoyed it. Right, let's just get straight into it. Remember last time I talked about it's going to be Christmas in July, so I'm talking about Christmas in July. Plus I've got some other stuff as well. I did have a few things to talk about, but I forgot. Oh, one thing I want to say, if you've not been listening to Tinsel Tunes, I shouldn't even have to ask why not, because you should be listening anyway, but if not, why not? But if you haven't, it was a fantastic episode, the last one, because they had Dwayne Bailey back on, and it was great to hear Dwayne with the guys. I think the guys are doing a fantastic job, but it was so lovely to hear Dwayne on there again as well. So if you've not been following Tinsel Tunes, get yourself over there, check it out. It's fantastic. I've had a few emails. Oh, do you know what? I'm going to briefly touch upon it. A few people have said, yeah, I'll have a look at your Batman film if you're that desperate for me to watch it. Do you know what? Forget it. No one seems too bothered. Was it two people? I sent a link to someone, right, saying, look, here's a link on YouTube. This is a clip. It's not the whole Batman film. It's just a clip, right, from it. Yeah, have a look. And then if you watch that clip, it'll lead you to the other clips, right, yeah? Never heard back from them. What does that tell you? I think we all know what that tells you. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sure there's other stuff to talk about, but I can't think of anything. So let's get on with the show. Here's the show. And here are you. It's you. It's the show. That's all we need. So this is the show. Remember last episode, I mentioned that I needed a jingle for the quiz segment, the new quiz segment. Do you remember the quiz segment where I talked about going to car boot sales? Tell you what, car boot sales are a great place to get Christmas decorations. But you can buy them all year round. People are just getting rid of their old stuff. I'm not going to go into it. We talked enough about car boot sales last week. We didn't. You can never talk enough about car boot sales. But you get the point. Anyway, I said last episode, oh, I'll have to do a jingle for the quiz. I haven't done a jingle. So this is the jingle. I'm going to make it up. Let's see how it goes. Ready? This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. That was bad, wasn't it? But I'm using it. This is the quiz. So for those of you that weren't here last episode, for shame, you should have been here. It was great. And when I say great, I mean rubbish. Just to say, every episode now in the lead up to Christmas, I'm going to be doing a quiz. It's only a short one. I'm not making a massive thing about it. There are no prizes. Don't switch off because there's no prizes. Okay. If the fact that there's no prizes is a deal breaker for you, then yeah, there's prizes, man. There's loads of prizes and you could win a prize. How's that? Do you feel better about being involved now? I hope you do. So I bought this quiz game from the car boot sale. It cost me £1. I'm telling the whole story again. I shouldn't have to. And each episode, I'm going to be asking 10 quiz questions, followed by 5 hum that tunes. You'll get the answers and we'll all feel like we've achieved something. So here we go. Question number one. What was the name of the ancient Roman winter solstice festival? What was his name? Was it Dave? Probably not. Was it Mark? Possibly. Probably not, though. Right, question number two. In what year did Elvis Presley release Blue Christmas? What was the year? Question number three. What do elves traditionally have on the tips of their shoes? Oh, here's a quick aside while I think about it. Last episode, when I was reading out the... Was it the questions or the answers? I said number 5 twice. Or I might have said number 6 twice. and no one bothered mentioning it because you're all too polite or you weren't paying attention. One or the other. Right. Question number four. Including Rudolph, how many reindeer does Father Christmas have? Oh, that's another clue, isn't it? That this is a British quiz, because it's Father Christmas, not Santa Claus. There we go. Last episode, I mentioned that I thought this was a British quiz. But I can tell you this, Father Christmas and Santa Claus have the same number of reindeer because they're the same person. In what country would you eat a bûche de Noël? To be honest, you could eat it in any country, but what country does it come from? Because you could buy one in that country, you could like hop over the border and be eating it there, and someone would be like, oi, you can't eat that in this country, get back in the other country, which country I won't say the name of, because that's the answer to the question. Question number, in Twas the Night Before Christmas, what is St. Nicholas's belly compared to? It's not called Twas the Night Before Christmas, it should be in the poem A Visit by St. Nicholas. So that's me showing off. Thank you. Right, question. I'm going to find out what question we're up to, actually. Okay, right. Well, that was question number six. This is question number seven. Which Christmas character did Robert L. May create? Which one? Tell me now. This is a difficult one. You're going to have trouble with this one. What colour are the berries of the mistletoe plant? You know the little white berries on mistletoe? Yeah, what colour are they? Right, question number nine. Which country was the first to issue a Christmas postage stamp? Which country was it? Which country was the first? And number 10, who originally sang, I saw Mummy kissing Santa Claus? How was that? Really good. Okay, so those are your 10 questions. Now I'm going to hum that tune. These are all normally pretty easy. Okay, here we go. Got my 5 questions. And I'm going to read them out now. Right, here we go. Number one. Number two. Song number three. Song number four. And question and song number 5. That's what you're getting. So those were your 5 songs, and now I'm going to give you the answers. Did you write them down? Probably not. Did you even bother trying to answer? Probably not. Are you still listening? Probably not. We try, don't we, Jack? We try. Question number one. Which country was it? That's not the one. Hang on. Question number one. What was the name of the ancient Roman winter solstice festival? And the answer actually was Dave. So there we go. Question number... Just kidding. It was Saturnalia. Question number two. This is a difficult one, this one, actually. This is difficult compared to the question, what colour are mistletoe berries? Right. In what year did Elvis Presley release Blue Christmas? That was 1957. I would not have got that. What do elves traditionally have on the tips of their shoes? Did you get this one? Bells? Who came up with that idea? I mean, what else would they have on there, really? I picture their shoes sort of curled up, but I don't picture bells on them. But traditionally, apparently, according to the festive game and quiz collection, yeah, they believe that they had bells on their shoes. Okay, question number four. Please bear in mind that I'm not really paying attention to the numbers, so this might not be question number four, but I think it is. Including Rudolph, how many reindeer does Father Christmas have? The answer was... 9. And if you watch, like, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, he's got loads, hasn't he? He's got, like, the 8 main ones, and then Rudolph. But he's got other reindeer as well, hanging around. It's got spares, but the ones we know. Anyway, let's move on from that. In what country would you eat a Bûche de Noël? The answer, my answer was you could eat it in any country. I'm not going to hold it against you. But the correct answer, well, where does it come from, was France. And a Bûche de Noël is a Yule log, a chocolate Yule log. Question number six, is it, probably? In Twas the Night Before Christmas, or as I correctly told you, A Visit from St. Nicholas, what is Nicholas's belly compared to? The answer is a bowl full of jelly, because it shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. Which Christmas character did Robert L. May create? He created Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So there's that. Right, question number eight are we on now, probably? Yep. What colour are the berries of the mistletoe plant? I know this is tricky. I know a lot of you had to Google this one. But the answer is, are you ready? The answer is white. Mistletoe berries are white. Yeah. Okay, I know. Tricky one, that one. Tricky, very tricky. It wasn't tricky, was it? I'm being facetious. Is that the word? Who cares? Which country was the first to issue a Christmas postage stamp? Do you know which one it was? It was Canada. And finally, I did not have a clue about this one. Or that Canada. That's it, right? Which country was the first to issue a Christmas postage stamp? No one knows that. If you're in Canada, you probably don't even know that, right? What colour are the berries on mistletoe? How can that... What? There's no balance. Right. Last one. Who originally sang I Saw Mummy Kissing Santa Claus? Jimmy Boyd. Did you know that? I did not. Right. I hope you got all 10 of those. If you did, I'd be well impressed with that. Like, sincerely, well impressed. Do you know what, actually? I will give prizes. If you got all 10 of those, email me and I'll reply saying, yeah, I believe you. Chinny rack on. Do you say chinny rack on? Are you familiar with that? It's like when you scratch your chin going, oh, yeah, chinny chin. Yeah, I believe you. Chinny chin chin. If you don't, it's like you don't believe them. Really. But if you did, if you really honestly did, you can email me and tell me you got all 10. I won't believe you. I couldn't, because you never would have got the one about the mistletoe berries. So even if you email me and tell me you got all 10, I'm not going to believe you. Right, here we go. The songs were, Here Comes Santa Claus, Good Old Santa Claus, Write Down Santa Claus' Name. Number two was, I'll Be Home for Christmas. Number three was, Have a Holly Jolly Christmas. Number four was, The Holly and the Ivy. And number five was, Do They Know It's Christmas? That wasn't so easy, that last one, was it? My humming skills, I thought they were up to it. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But that was the fourth one, or fifth one. Fifth one. Do They Know It's Christmas? That was the quiz this week. Do you know what, right? I don't know if you enjoy listening to it or having a go. I enjoy doing it. I really like it. I don't know why I like it, but I really like it. That was the quiz. I'll be here again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, I'm still here for the rest of the episode. So let's move on for this.
I did something I shouldn't have, and these people called me on it.
You didn't.
That's pretty low, mister. If I had a rubber hose, I would beat you.
The wonderful Jennifer Kay and Elmer, our self-appointed podcast mascot, sent me two fantastic... Actually, sent me a lovely email. It says, Have you started Christmas shopping yet? I'm proud to say I have. I'm getting things here and there that I think my family and friends would like. I used to be that person shopping last minute. I don't know why it took me so long to do it this way. Which is interesting, because I think I told you this last year. I only shop for one person now. My wife does all the shopping for everyone else. And I pay for everything, and well, I don't. It's both our monies. We have a wonderful relationship, my wife and I, no matter what I say. And anyway, forget about that. I'm not going to go into that. But what I will say is I have to buy for my wife. But this time of year, she's had her birthday like 2 weeks ago, and that was stressful enough. So no, I don't buy anything else until normally December the 25th. I'll buy it online on Christmas Day. I'll get up early to do it. That's not strictly true. I normally try and get her some decent stuff. Yeah, I do all right. She always gets a Christmas stocking, actually. Every year since we've been together, I've done her up a Christmas stocking with stuff in it. And I've never had a Christmas stocking in the 15 years or 16 years or 17 years we've been together. So that's sad, isn't it? The answer's yes. Right. Anyway, I'm glad to hear that Jennifer is getting on with her Christmas shopping. Good work on that. Well done. It's good to stay ahead of the game, because the last thing you want is come Christmas. And also, I guess if you're doing Christmas shopping throughout the year, it sort of keeps Christmas with you throughout the year. Do you know what I mean? Of course you do. It makes sense. Right, now Jennifer sent me two stories of shame, and I was going to do them together because they're both very short, but I thought, do you know what, I don't get enough stories of shame sent in, so I'm going to do one of them next week. So this week, I'm just going to do her first story, and this is it. So this is how it starts. I have two stories about how my sister and I ruined Christmas for ourselves one year and Christmas morning for our parents another year. So the first story, we were probably 10 and 11 years old and in our newly constructed upstairs bedroom. It was huge, with crawl spaces our parents decided to use for hiding Christmas gifts. That's got to be a mistake, isn't it? Oh, hang on, but Dad put a lock on the door and warned us to stay out. Don't ever tell them to stay away from anything. I say try and hide stuff in plain view, although I did that one year. I hid something where my brother used to hide his stuff. I thought he won't be looking for a present from me in there. And of course he found it because he was hiding other stuff in his hiding place. I don't know what I was thinking. That should be my story of shame, but this is Jennifer's. Oh, she's put, look, he wanted us to stay out. And she's put, what did they really think we'd do? Really, what did they think? What did they think was going to happen? Both parents were out in the backyard and we found the key and went through everything. Long story short, neither my sister or I are very good actors. Mum and Dad called us out on our shenanigans and didn't hide anything in there again. And we learned it wasn't fun to know beforehand what we were getting. And that's so true, isn't it? This is how I feel. It's like, I desperately want to know what I'm getting for Christmas. I don't feel this way anymore. Now I've got the restraint that I can wait till Christmas. But in the old days, when I was a kid, it's like, I want to know. You know, I was always a master of like trying to peel off a little bit of wrapping paper to sort of look inside to see what stuff was. I need to know what I'm getting. And if you find out, come Christmas Day, it's like, oh, I already knew. Oh, I've ruined it for myself. And that's what Jennifer and her sister did. But you never learn, do you? When you're a kid, you don't learn. That's not going to teach you a lesson when you're a kid. You're not going to think, well, I won't do that next year. I need to know what I'm getting. Right. Thank you so much for sending that one through, Jennifer. It was lovely to hear from you. I hadn't heard from her in a little while, so it was nice to get that email. And hopefully, when this episode goes out, I will have replied. Maybe I have, maybe I haven't. We'll find out. Do you know what? I'm looking at the email now. She sent it 8 days ago, and I didn't reply yet. That's bad. Oh, and at the bottom, she's put, P.S. I would love to watch your Batman film. She didn't put that. Why didn't she put that? Because she don't want to watch it. That's fine. No one does. Right. Actually, that's not strictly true. Benji Pearson said he's got 37 friends that want to see it. I don't think he has. I really can't imagine those people are interested in my Batman film. Right, I'm going to stop talking about the Batman film. Thanks again, Jennifer Kay, and I'll read your other story next week. Now let's move on with this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
It's time now for my favourite part of the show. This is my new favourite part of the show. And the reason it's my new favourite part of the show is because I don't have to do anything. Because Bob Baker, our self-appointed barman, he does all the work for me. Now, I've got to say, when he started doing this segment, he was finding British words that have different meanings in the States. And they were Christmas words. But since he's used most of those up, he's just using general words that we use in the UK differently to the way they're used in the States. But what's cool is that he's putting a Christmas twist on them, so it's still Christmas related. So good work with that, Bob. Before I read this out, I just want to say Bob sent me an email and he's put, we're having a party next weekend for my son who's getting married, so congratulations to your son. And he's put, I will be rolling out the tiki bar and my new addition. And he sent a picture of this little ornament that he's got going on with his tiki bar. It's very cool. I will try and remember to put the picture up on Facebook. I've been a bit lazy with Facebook the last few weeks, but I did stick a couple up last week and I'll try and do the same this week. So yeah, I'll stick the picture of his new addition to his tiki bar. I'll stick that on Facebook so everyone can have a look at it. Right, let's play Bob's Do You Hear What I Hear? This episode, I'm not even going to tell you. He'll tell you. Here it comes.
Hey, this is your self-appointed barman, Bob Baker, with my very first culinary tip. If you want your meals to taste better, you should always cook with wine. Heck, you may even want to put some of it into the food. For today's Do You Hear What I Hear, we're going to get to the bare bottom of a dirty little secret. Nappies. This is a curious word. I've heard it used in many English holiday films, like Love Actually, Bridget Jones' Diary, and About a Boy. The word nappies seems to come up a lot. so I was looking for the unsoiled truth of its meaning, with no BS. And I understand now why you can't avoid nappies, especially when they need changing. I learned that these are what we call diapers in America. You don't hear this word nappies in the States. We might say nap, but that is used to describe the other S word associated with babies, sleep. Or it is also a way we use to define a certain type of hairstyle. It's like Stevie Wonder sings in the song I Wish. He describes himself as a nappy-headed boy. Now, in the US, we just have diapers or dirty diapers, which does beg the question, in the UK, is it nappies or crappy nappies? Cheers and happy Christmas.
Thanks again to Bob for sending that through. I've already got the next one lined up, and I love that so much. He does a great job. So thank you, Bob. Hopefully I'll remember to put his pictures at the Tiki Bar up on Facebook. But if I forget, don't hate me. Or hate me, but don't let me know you hate me. Just do it behind my back. I can deal with that. Now it's time for this. Last episode, I warned you that I was going to be talking about Christmas in July. This episode, I'm going to be talking about Christmas in July. So, this is interesting because no one really knows where it started. But there's a couple of interesting stories that you might enjoy. Now, the first one, somewhere in the early 20th century, there was an unexpected blizzard that stranded travellers that were staying in Yellowstone Park. And they all got snowed in. And they were stuck there. And they thought, well, we're stuck in the snow. Why don't we celebrate Christmas? And that was the first ever celebration of Christmas in July. The only problem with that story is, much as I love it, there's no available details of what year it actually was. And also, there's no record of any snow falling that was deep enough that people would actually be stranded. So, you know, snow in July is not unheard of in Yellowstone Park, but being snowed in July is unheard of in Yellowstone Park. So it's probably just a legend, that one. The other story, which is documented and is probably the official start of Christmas in July, is from Keystone Camp. And in 1933, a lady called Fanny Holt had Christmas in July at their girls' summer camp, which, like I said, was Keystone Camp. Now, Miss Fanny, she was quite legendary for being like really imaginative and whimsical and so much fun for all the girls. And she's quoted as saying, "There's no reason for having Christmas in July, except that it's fun and the girls loved it." Which is really nice, I thought. Now, their Christmas in July was pretty much like our Christmas. They had a big old Christmas tree, which they decorated. They sang Christmas carols. Santa visited. They were given gifts. And they had fake snow that was made out of cotton around the place. And it was like massive the first few years. And now they carried on doing it every single year since then. So it's still going now at Keystone Camp. And in the years since, they've broadened the idea to include Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, and they also have Halloween during the summer camp months as well. I think they've started doing a lot of other stuff during those months. So the way it's spread, it's believed that the girls from the camp like would go home and tell their parents about it, and it sort of made the newspapers as well, and that's how word got out. And Christmas in July became a thing or a phrase that people knew. Now, there was a film that came out called Christmas in July. I don't want to go into it because it's not about Christmas, but it is about July. Generally, the storyline goes that there's this guy who's a creative in an ad department. He wins this competition, so he gets loads of money and he starts spending it on all the things he wants. And he starts buying gifts for everyone, and he's going to get married to his girlfriend who he couldn't get married to before because he couldn't afford to. Now he can. They're going to get married. Turns out he hasn't actually won. He was being wound up. But that's the storyline. I'm not going to tell any more because, like I say, it's nothing to do with Christmas. It's just got Christmas in the title. Right? Right. So the phrase spread, Christmas in July, it became a thing, and retailers started using it to have a big sale in July to get people in the shops, because summer months can often be quite lean. You don't have many holidays around there. After the 4th of July, there's no holiday again until September, so you want to get people in the shops. And also, people might be going away on holiday, so again, you might not have the custom, so you need an excuse to get them in. So really, that's what Christmas in July became. It became mainly a sales thing. And like I said, this started in the 40s. But I got an email from Benji Pearson after I mentioned I was going to be talking about it, and he sent me a clipping, an advert from a newspaper from, are you ready for the year? Ready? 1917. That's 16 years before the first time that they had Christmas in July at Keystone Camp. I'll read it out to you, actually. Let's have a listen to this. Midsummer Christmas. July is the great playtime month. We are going to observe by having a midsummer Christmas sale, something new. Why wait until the cold weather before buying playthings? Let's make this 4th of July a great mid-year event. We have an abundance of playthings suitable for this season. Be sure to see our store. It reminds one of Christmas, only the decorations are for the 4th of July time. Now for the big summer holiday. Peacock's Cash Store, Orangeville, Utah. So there you go. Now, it doesn't say Christmas in July. It says Midsummer Christmas Sale, and it does mention July, but it doesn't mention Christmas in July. But there you go. 1917, they were coming up with this idea for a big Christmas-style holiday. So, yeah, throws a bit of a spanner in the history works there, doesn't it, of what I was telling you. But there we go. So, going back to the history where we were up to, the sales were aimed as a boost to, like, between holidays, and aimed to draw in customers who might start shopping earlier and they might start prepping for Christmas, you know. And QVC began a big Christmas in July. Now, originally, it was just 24 hours on the 25th of July. But now, it's still going strong. Now it's a whole month. And QVC does Christmas in July from the very 1st of July all the way till the 31st of July. Now, I did read a few bits about Christmas in July in the Southern Hemisphere, particularly in Australia. And I read an interesting article that sort of talked about it, but didn't really say how they celebrate it. And I'm not sure if it's a massive thing. In the article, they were sort of suggesting it is. But by the end of it, I got the impression that maybe not. Maybe it's just, I don't know, maybe some families do, maybe some people do, but I've spent July in Australia. That would have been in the 90s, and I don't remember any mention of Christmas in July then, so there you go. Having said that, some stores in the article I was reading, they had pictures and links and that, they did put Christmas decorations up in the store, because don't forget, obviously, in the Southern Hemisphere, it would be winter in July. So recently, Hallmark have been getting in on the act and showing blocks of their Christmas movies throughout July, and this year, they've got four premieres of Christmas movies. They're actually premiering the Christmas movies in July. That's insane, isn't it? I don't know how many people are watching their Christmas in July movies, but I'd like to think there's a few. And I'm going to list them. I'm going to list this year's Christmas in July premieres for you. So the first one is My Grown-Up Christmas List. Then you've got Campfire Christmas, Christmas in Toyland, and A Splash of Love. Spot the odd one out there. A Splash of Love. That doesn't say Christmas. Can't it be A Splash of Christmas Love? Can't it be A Splash of Love at Christmas? Can't it be A Christmas of Love with a splash on it? No? Okay, we'll stick with A Splash of Love. But people aren't going to know it's a Christmas film unless they see the poster. Now, the last thing I want to add is from the email that I received from Dan Carlson of Burley Boards. If you haven't checked out Burley Boards, get on Facebook, check out Burley Boards. He makes some wonderful woodwork stuff. I mentioned his email last week, but one of the things he said was, I was thinking about all the Christmas in July stuff that we start hearing about this time of year. It's usually just an excuse for retail stores to blast sales ads, but there are other Christmas in July things that happen as well. For instance, we have a local professional baseball team here that has a Christmas in July game every year. They play Christmas music in the stadium and even have a surfing Santa that walks around in a Hawaiian shirt handing out toys to kids. So it's not just the retail stores, but to be honest, if you went online, which I did, and I tried to find some different Christmas traditions, like Christmas in July traditions, I didn't find many. So it's nice to hear that Dan sent some in. If you've got some that people celebrate in your area, please email them in and let me know about it. One other thing I want to say, and I mentioned this last time about Christmas in July in the UK, and I wanted to double check, and I asked my wife about it. And I said, are you familiar with Christmas in July? And she's like, well, what do you mean? I said, like the phrase, are you familiar with that phrase? And she wasn't. She sort of said, well, it sort of rings a bell, but I don't know where from. I don't think I've ever seen it anywhere. So there you go. That's her take on it. I did mention that last week, but I was familiar with Christmas in July, and I guess it must just be from all the podcasts I listen to. So that is Christmas in July, and there's not a massive amount more for me to say about it, apart from this next segment. So let's have a listen to this.
I'm singing. I'm in a store, and I'm singing. I'm in a store, and I'm I'm singing!
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
This episode's Christmas Not So Classic is a little bit different. Now, normally, I focus on a song that came out and I'd like it to be a classic. It's not. This episode, I'm not focusing on one song. I'm focusing on, are you ready for this? 8 songs, right? And they're all called Christmas in July. And I'll tell you something else. They ain't that good. But I'm going to play them for you anyway. I'm going to play a snippet from each one. And I'm not going to do the research on them because there's not a lot to research. These aren't big acts. I hadn't heard of one of these acts. Actually, no, that's a lie. I had heard of one of them. But all the others I'd never heard of. So I'm just going to tell you the name of the band. And I'll play you the song. And I'll give you my verdict at the end of it. So this is the first one. And it is by Jonathan Coulton and John Roderick. And the song is called Christmas in July.
I wish we were having Christmas in July. No winter anymore, warm breezes by the shore, long days beneath the summery sky. Santa doesn't have to hurry to leave town. There's nothing here but time, gin tonic and some lime. He'll probably stick around. Three ships sailing on the ocean blue. All the children fast asleep. Now there's only me and you. Trees all decorate themselves with butterflies. Our blues are on the run. We're soaking up the sun. Yule time in paradise.
So that was Christmas in July by Jonathan Coulton and John Roderick. And it was all right, wasn't it? It was all right. This next one is by Alex the Astronaut. And this one is called Christmas in July.
I thought I knew it all, but I was the captain of moving too fast. So when my ship sank out in front, I was left all alone. Then when we met, there was quiet, your slow silhouette stood still by me and I didn't blink. No, I hadn't seen anything. Now Christmas in July is coming true. The Grinch has come to dine with all the hoods. Got all the presents I was hoping to.
I should have played that one last because I actually didn't mind that one. As the songs go, that one was okay. So this next one is an original song from Lizzie Waters and it is called Christmas in July.
Staring out the back door window, I don't got a thing to do but worry the time away. They tell me that I overthink things. I know they're right, but I'm so scared I'll never be the same. Oh, me, I don't want to fall apart, I don't want to leave. Just keep me by your side, but you're a thousand miles away. Oh, me, I just want to tell you every reason why. Christmas in July.
She's got a very good voice, but I don't really care for it. So this next one hasn't actually got any words, and it's by Englewood. I don't know what that means. Is that the band? I don't know. Anyway, it's called, this song is called Christmas in July.
Thank you.
Do you know what? I quite like that tune, but I don't see it as being Christmassy. Maybe summery, but not. But that's just my take. Okay, so the next one. This is from the Therapy Sisters. Their album, I think, is called Codependent Christmas, and it's called Christmas in July.
I got my feet in a wash tub, an ice pack on my head. I'm swatting at mosquitoes, and I'm wishing that I was dead. I forgot those resolutions that I made under the tree. I'm swearing and I'm sweating just like a tumbler of iced tea. Peace and harmony are in such short supply. That's why we need a little Christmas, just a little Christmas in July.
Yeah, I didn't care for that at all. Next one is by the Ego Trippers, and it is called Christmas in July.
Sweetness, suck on love. Stand outside the square, they drag you back inside. And it's just Christmas in July.
There we go, that was that. This is the only other one where I've actually heard of the act, and his name is, I'm going to say it wrong, his name's Sufjan Stevens, and the only reason I've heard of the act is they played one of his songs on an episode of Jingle Jank. So there you go. And this song is called Christmas in July.
If I missed my chance, I didn't even try. I'm not one to regret Christmas in July. If my timing is bad, like a fish on a pike, would you let me pretend Christmas in July? I'm not one to admit, I'm not one to fight. Maybe I was wrong, or maybe I was right. Like when I went to school, drinking coffee at night, and I did what I did, now I do what I like.
Open the champagne, party and dance. Your mother said it's very expensive. Do what you want to, don't even ask us.
This guy's got a very distinctive voice. His name's Nick Whitcomb, and the song is called Christmas in July.
Why can't we have Christmas in July? There's no snow and no reindeer, but do we just let joy pass by? It's hard to take a look around and not cry. So why can't we have Christmas in July? Just put up some lights and cherish your nights. Relax and have some cocoa, no more working, that's a no-no. It's Christmas time, the time of your life. Open up a prison, let's go. Jingle bells and all is well. Even though it's hot as hell, it's Christmas, Christmas in July. Ding-a-ling, we're caroling. Everybody come and sing about Christmas, Christmas in July, Christmas in July.
There you go. That was it. That was 8 songs, all called Christmas in July. And there's others as well. That's not the end of the list, but that's the end of the ones I'm playing for you today. Because, you know, they were, I'm not saying they were bad songs. I just didn't feel like they were that Christmassy, really. But that's just my take on it. Maybe you'll love them. Maybe you should go on YouTube, type in Christmas in July song and have a listen to them. Yeah, that's Christmas in July. Now it's time for this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
This episode's version of A Christmas Carol is A Jetsons Christmas Carol. Now, I think I mentioned this last week. I've definitely mentioned it in previous episode. It's not going to be here. I'm not going to play it for you now. If you want to listen to my take and Mike Westphal's take of A Jetsons Christmas Carol, you're going to have to go over to the Advent Calendar podcast and listen to it there. Now, the episode drops today. I don't know what time. I know it's the 17th. Actually, no. Ooh. Okay, so if you're in the States, you might get it tomorrow because it's the Sunday the 17th. So I don't know when you're listening to this. If you're listening to this on the 17th, it should be live. If you're in the UK or Australia, then it's going to be tomorrow it comes out. So head over there, listen to it. I had a ball recording it. I haven't had a chance to listen to it again yet, so I'm going to look forward to listening to it myself when it comes out. But check out the Advent Calendar House podcast, and it's the latest episode, and I'm on it with Mike Westphal, talking about A Jetsons Christmas Carol. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Yes. Right. Now it's time for this. This episode's recommendation is The Advent Calendar House with Mike Westphal. And you're thinking, oh, you just told us about it. Well, I'm telling you again. Go and check it out. It's fantastic. But I've also got another recommendation for you. Now, I haven't done a podcast recommendation in a little while, so I'm doing one now. This one, I find so funny. It's called Wheel of Misfortune, and it's presented by comedians Alison Spittle and Fern Brady, and they have like guest co-hosts coming on sharing their funniest, most embarrassing stories, the bad stuff that makes you feel good. So this one, it's not just those guys telling their stories and the co-hosts, like the listeners record their stories and send them in as well, and it's so funny. Some of the stories are just fantastic. A little bit crude at times, so it might not be to everyone's taste, and the language is a little bit ripe, but at the same time, it's very, very funny. So if you can ignore a bit of bad language, or if you're not offended by that, then definitely give it a listen. Like I say, it's called Wheel of Misfortune, and it's from BBC Podcast. There's about 60 episodes out already, so there's plenty for you to listen to. And they've probably done a Christmas episode. I haven't got to it yet. I'm only about 10 episodes in. And I bet if they have done a Christmas episode, I could use any one of those stories for my Christmas Stories of Shame. Anyway, that is this episode's recommendation, Wheel of Misfortune. Go out and give it a shot. I think you'll love it. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I could do the usual bit where I say send in your stories, but people very rarely do. So, you know, I'm not going to pressurise you. But I will say thanks for listening. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, have a fantastic... Oh, goodness me, how did I forget? Sorry, 25th of July. 25th of July. This is coming out on the 17th, so it's 8 days from now, before the next episode drops. The 25th of July is Shelley Arnold's birthday. I'm sure you all remember me mentioning Shelley Arnold before, but Shelley Arnold is also the creator of one of the most magnificent Christmas villages you've ever seen. Twice she's been on the show and she's talked about the village, and she sent me pictures of it, which I've posted up on Facebook. And both times, those are the highest rated Facebook posts of the year. My two highest rated Facebook posts since I started Facebook are both Shelley Arnold's Christmas Village. That's how widely loved it is. I want to wish a fantastic birthday to Shelley. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day from me and the girls. Merry birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Shelley. Happy birthday to you. And many more. We love you. Bye.
I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you. Merry Christmas.
Hello, Frank. I'm the ghost of Christmas present.
I had a funny feeling. Why did you do that?
Sometimes you have to slap them in the face just to get their attention.
Fine. Slap me in the face. But you kicked me in the wall.
Hush, Frank. It's time.